So remember, last week we were in Galatians 2, and we were looking at a story that the Apostle Paul told. Remember that story? He's in Antioch, hanging out with his Gentile friends. And remember, we talked about Gentiles are the people who like to eat ham and cheese sandwiches at the lunch table, right? And the Spirit of God has been in the Gentiles working miracles, and Jesus is present here. It's a beautiful and amazing thing. But then one day, a bunch of bullies come from the city of Jerusalem, and they start telling these Gentile Christians, wait a minute, you have to come and follow the law of Moses if you really want to be a Christian. And remember, we talked about bounded sets and centered sets last week. Well, this week, in chapter 3, Paul gets really riled up. And he talks to his friends in Galatia, and he says, you foolish Galatians, what are you thinking? Now, I want to point out three parts of this chapter that really are pretty perplexing. Look in verse 8 and 9. He says that I'll start in the beginning of verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed in you. Now think about that for a second. How could the gospel be declared to Abraham? Jesus hadn't even come and died on the cross yet. What is that all about? Now turn to verse 24. Paul says, therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came. Another word for disciplinarian is a schoolmaster. So here we have the problem. We have the law of Moses on one side, and we have the promise given to Abraham on the other. How do these two things come together? Then there's one last perplexing thing. In verse 28, it says, Paul says, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. And then this one's really interesting. There is no longer male or female. Last time I checked, there's still males and there's still females. But he says, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. What is going on here? You know, I've been wrestling with this chapter all week long, and I like to go on walks when I'm thinking about sermons. And if you know me, you know that my brain thinks in pictures. And so I'm walking along, and these pictures are flooding into my mind, and I'm like, God, how am I going to explain this to the congregation? And so I made a decision. I decided to sit down and put all the pictures together and make a video for you as my sermon. It's pretty risky. I've never done it before, but here we go. Let's turn the lights off and the video on.
The Bible tells a big story about God's relationship to the world and God's plan to save the world and make all things new. The big question is this. What is this all about? What is the point of the story? What is God up to? Now, there are many ways to tell this story. Many people like to tell the story like this. First, we have God. God is perfect, eternal, and almighty. Like a perfect circle. God is way up here in eternity. Then there's all the stuff way down here that God created. He may have created it good at first, but it got messed up really fast, and now there is a big gap between God and all created things. This gap is called sin. And because of sin, all of creation is cut off from God and lost forever. The story of the Bible is how God plans to get some of the creation back up to be in eternity and perfection with God. Let's boil the story of the Bible down into four main parts. First, we have Abraham, then Moses, followed by Jesus, and finally, we have the church. That's us right now. According to the first version of the story, God came up with several different ways to rescue people from the sinful world. It's like God created a scoop and dipped down into creation to pull people out of sin and darkness. The first plan was through a deal with Abraham. God said he would make him into a great nation, and he signed the deal with circumcision. 400 years later, God continued the nation-making plan with Abraham and gave his children a set of laws to govern them. Moses led this group of people out of slavery, organized them through the law, and anyone who was circumcised and obeyed the law would be scooped up and saved. The rest of the Old Testament tells the story of how the people had a really hard time obeying the law and how most of them didn't make the scoop. Finally, God tried a new plan. God sent his only son Jesus to the earth to pay the penalty for our sin, since none of us could obey the law on our own. Jesus was now the scoop. This time, though, the scoop was not limited to those who were circumcised, but now anyone could hop on the scoop and be saved from death and destruction and go to heaven when they die. The church's job today is to tell everyone they can about the chance to jump into the scoop and escape death and destruction before it's too late. What if there was a different way to tell this story? What if it went like this? God is the creator of all things, not a static ball of perfection, but a dynamic creator who is constantly speaking the universe into being. God interacts with creation through spirit and flesh in order to bring all of creation into maturity and unity in the love and peace of God. That is the story we find in the Bible. God came to Abraham and said, "I will bless you to be a blessing to all nations." Here are some important aspects of God that we see in this picture. God is with us. God is for us. The Spirit of God is everywhere, drawing people to God. God is in the flesh, in this case, through Abraham and the promise of children. And God is gathering a particular people and sending them to bless the nations. 400 years later, Abraham's children have multiplied, but they are enslaved in the empire of Egypt. God sends Moses to lead the people out of slavery. He saves them and then gives Moses a tabernacle and a law to organize the people and keep them safe. God is with us. God is for us. God is in the flesh, this time in the people of Israel. God is gathering a particular people and sending them to bless the nations. For the next 1,400 years, the people of Israel struggled with what it means to be the presence of God in the flesh among the nations. More often than not, they did not represent God well. They became power-hungry people and abused the poor and the helpless. Eventually, most of them flipped God's plan upside down and said, "God is only with us, not you. God is for us, not you. God has blessed us and cursed you." Then Jesus came. God with us, God for us, God in the flesh. Jesus fulfilled the promise to Abraham and became the enfleshment of Israel. Jesus demonstrated the love of God and reversed the destructive power structures of the world by giving up his own life for us. In his death, he conquered death and changed the power structures of the universe. In his resurrection, he unleashed the Spirit of God on all people. Now, the church is the body of Christ, gathered together in the power of the Holy Spirit around the body and blood of the risen Jesus, and sent into the world to be a blessing to all nations. Salvation is not a matter of being in a certain clan or part of a certain power structure. We are justified by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the world that draws us together around the risen Jesus. When we look at this picture as a timeline, it still looks like God changed his mind and there are separate phases of the plan. What if we looked at it like this? Rather than seeing this as a linear timeline, what if we thought of it as a tree or a vine? It grows out, not along a line. The core is still the promise to Abraham, and the plan is still the blessing of the whole world with the love of God. Moses brought the law to help organize things for a season. Jesus fulfilled the law and expanded the trunk to include all people to be branches in this vine. It doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. We are united by the faith that began with Abraham and flows through all of it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell in and among us, creating community with us to bring about the continuing redemption of the world, of all creation, until the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven. We are called to bear the fruit of love, to be made into sweet wine that will bring healing and hope to the world.
So we have law and we have promise. We have the world of us humans who are struggling against each other. And in our world, the power structures tend to take the powerful and dominate the weak. It's different in each culture. It's different throughout time, but it typically looks like this. Men dominate women. The rich dominate the poor. The European Christians dominate the heathen nations. And law organizes it and condemns it all at the same time. But we have promise. We have the promise that God gave to Abraham and continues to give to us today. The question we've been asking all year is, how do we fit in that plan? Well, Jesus is planted right here on the corner of Round Lake and Bunker. And the Spirit has drawn each one of us to be branches in that vine. And the Spirit works in us in all of our weaknesses and failures. And the power structures of male and female become male and female. And we are one in Christ. And the rich and the poor become one in Christ. How we fit in this plan is that by the miraculous promise of God, we are called to be that ministry of grace, to bear the fruit of love in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our families, and let God do his amazing work of redeeming the world. Amen. Let's stand together and worship.